We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBA Front Office Show. Happy Friday to all of you front runners out there. We've got some NBA news to break down. We're going to talk a little bit about last night's Celtics versus Heat game. Got some stuff going on in the coaching search for the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll talk about some things the Hornets are doing, some things that's it's going on in the draft world, draft picks that could be on the move. Lots of stuff to break down today. I'm Trevor Lane. You can find me on Twitter at Trevor_Lane, on Instagram at TrevorLaneNBA, joined by Keith Smith at KeithSmithNBA. Keith, if you are listening to the podcast version of this, you are doing yourself a disservice because you do not get to see Keith's fantastic new haircut. Check out the YouTube channel to see how stylish Keith is looking. And he's rocking the blue Dallas Mavericks shirt. Is that an indication of what you expect to happen tonight?
Not what I expect, but what I hope, mm-hmm. Right? We're getting down to it, man. I want as many games left. So let's go Mavs. Let's even the series up and let's keep going. Let's get as many games as we can get the rest of the way.
Can we please not have a blowout? It feels like it's been years since we've had a yeah. non-blowout NBA playoff game. Obviously, it hasn't really, but the blowouts are coming fast and furious right now.
I think it might have been Justin Russo on Twitter. He's a guy, I think he covers the Clippers primarily. He tweeted, I think it's the last 10 games have been decided by 10 or more points. It's time for a close one that comes down to the end and we get a buzzer beater or something like that.
That explains why all of the over bets have been struggling so much lately because it's all garbage time stuff and all the top players are getting pulled.
That is true.
That's been an issue. But Mavs, Warriors, can the Mavs get back on track? Here's the thing. When we look at a series like this, you think, man, the Warriors look so good. And we just automatically assume that the same thing is going to happen in the next game. And we do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like you see this in fantasy sports too, where people just assume that what happened the previous season, you copy and paste it over, and that same stuff's going to happen in the next season. And that's especially not true, like if you play fantasy football. Definitely not true. So yeah, I think that would be a mistake if you just assumed that the game's going to look exactly the same because you know Jason Kidd and the Mavs are going to make adjustments. How the Warriors respond to those adjustments is going to be key, but I'm not expecting the game to play out the exact same way that the last one did. I think this one's going to be very close. Maybe that's me being overly optimistic, but I think it's going to be close. And I think the Mavs are going to throw some interesting new wrinkles in for us to break down when we get to that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they're going to have some different stuff prepared on both ends of the floor, kind of free guys up, maybe get Luka downhill a little bit more all the way to the hoop. We'll see. But yeah, you try not to overreact to game ones, right? That's a trap we can all fall into far too easily. And then I think the other thing that comes out of this is, this is when the series get interesting, right? Because if you're the Warriors, you probably kind of want to more or less run it right back with what worked for you and then see what the Mavs are doing. And then they're going to have to adjust on the fly and those kind of things. So yeah, it is always fun. I do think in the first round, sometimes when it's like a 1-8 seed, every once in a while you could tell, you know, after game one, it's like, all right, this is done. Right. They're overmatched. This is over. But yeah, once we're this deep in, every once in a while, I think, you know, bad game. And when you're in this every other night environment too, I think coaches tend to pull the plug pretty early and say, just forget it. I mean, you saw the Heat do that last night. They basically pretty early in the fourth quarter said, nope, we're done. This is over. And just took their guys out. So yeah, I don't overreact too much to that.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Celtics and the Heat. The Celtics blew out the Miami Heat, was not close for most of the game. And so that was something that was, not necessarily surprised. I was hoping for a closer game, but the Celtics, you get Al Horford back, you get Marcus Smart back, you already make your adjustments that you need to, and they run away with a big win there. What did you see specifically? Obviously, you follow the Celtics closer than I do. So what adjustments did you see Boston make? Jason Tatum moved the ball a lot better, but other than that, what else did the Celtics do to turn this thing around?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Seth Partnow kind of coined this, but the play better adjustment, right? I mean, and that there's some truth to that, but I do think there were a couple things on. Ball. Totally true. And I think what happened with Tatum more than that was he was able to get it. Him and Jaylen Brown got into the teeth of the defense a lot more. Marcus Smart got downhill. They forced Miami to rotate and help. And then that opened up shooters. So they were really better creating offense. Part of that came because they pushed the ball more. They played a little faster. And that's been a kind of confounding struggle for this team, I guess is the best way to put that, where it's like you play so well and when you play fast, why do you go to this extreme, walk it up, you know, slow down, isolation style? And then on defense, they switched more. Unless it was certain guys, then they would go to that drop coverage against like other guys. But and then the size, being able to have Horford in there to meet Butler on those drives, completely different, you know, and really kind of changes the game having him and Marcus Smart. So we'll see now where it goes headed back to Boston. But I feel like for the vast majority of two games, Boston has been the better team. They just had that disastrous third quarter, but you know, it doesn't really matter how you feel or what it looks like. They still lost. So it's 1-1, but mission accomplished. You want to steal one on the road as the lower seeded team. And they did that.
Yep. And now it flips back to Miami to see if they can get one in Boston and then go from there. So going to be interesting to see what adjustments now Miami makes. That's the way the playoffs go, right? One team wins, the other team makes adjustments, and then you adjust to those adjustments and back and forth. You go. The health of Kyle Lowry, of course, will certainly be a factor. Yeah. We'll see. I'm hoping that maybe he can get in there, but injuries can be so tricky. And Gabe Vincent has been really good for them too. So I'm not gonna, say he's a huge upgrade, but at least a veteran like Lowry, you'd like to see him be able to perform in the playoffs here.
Yeah, it's not as much about Gabe Vincent hasn't been good. It's that behind Gabe Vincent, you're having to cobble together minutes and those kind of things. So yeah, we always want to see teams at full strength. I think Eric Spoelstra said it great when somebody asked him, how do you feel about them getting Smart and Horford back? He's like, I think it's great. You want to play teams at full strength to really see where it's at. And I think he's 100% spot on with that. We do want to see it be in a case where everybody's out there. We don't want to be in a spot where you're having to go too much into that. And then PJ Tucker getting an MRI on his knee. That's a little concerning too. Anytime you're going to that level, that says it's not just a quick bump and probably fine. There probably is some form of issue there.
In the second half, when he was out there and he was moved around, I went, there's something not. I mean, he was not moving right at all. You could even when he was just running just to go spot up in the corner. It didn't look right. His stride was completely off. It was that he was moving with a definite limp. I wasn't surprised at all when they announced that he was out for the game. I went, based on the way he was moving, that looked about right. So fingers crossed. Hopefully he's okay because they're in big trouble defensively without him. They need him out there defensively on Tatum, switching on to Jaylen Brown sometimes. Without him, that'll be tough.
I think the play that showed more than anything that he wasn't right was Grant Williams backed him right down in the post and turned and scored right over him with ease. Yeah. And you don't move, you know, PJ Tucker, it's like kind of trying to post up a fire hydrant. Right. Like you're not going to move him, right? Like when he's feeling good. So, well, we'll see. You know, we'll get the injury report we're recording at about 4:30, probably, you know, somewhere in the 5 to 5:30 range. Well, we'll get the injury report for tomorrow, at least the preliminary one, and we'll see where we go from once that comes out.
All right. We did get an update on the Lakers coaching search.
Yeah.
Adrian Wojnarowski had some news, and then Shams had to come along and kind of one-up him a little bit. But Woj puts out that Darvin Ham and Terry Stotts have advanced to the final round of the Lakers coaching search. And then Shams came along and said, yeah, those two, but also add Kenny Atkinson to the mix. And Woj did word his tweet as though those were two of the finalists, not the only finalists. That was the message I got, at least from the way that he worded it.
Yep.
And sure enough, there are more here. And I suppose there could be other candidates too that are in this final round, but typically final round means you're meeting with ownership. You're getting that, you know, that's where we're at this point. So what are your thoughts on that group of potential candidates here, knowing now, and there could be others, but knowing that at least Darvin Ham, Kenny Atkinson, Terry Stotts are three finalists for the Lakers job. What do you think about that?
Yeah, three very different kind of guys. In that way, I think a good group. I think all three are going to be, you know, we know Atkinson and Stotts can coach. They've proven that. And I think Darvin Ham will be a pretty good head coach. So I'm kind of rooting for Darvin Ham just for somebody new. Nothing against Kenny Atkinson, who I really hope gets another job. The Lakers job seems a little weird for him because what he's kind of and building them up and into something more. So I think that's a little, you know, interesting to if that's the direction they go. Just, you know, maybe that does lean towards maybe they're going to go a little more younger and developmental with the back end of the roster. Sure. There. Maybe that is the way they go. And then Terry Stotts is, you know, this guy's just a proven coach. He's been around a long time, won a lot of places, and I think, you know, has a chance to be pretty good, you know, for them if that's where they want to go. And he's done it. I mean, there's no star like LeBron, but he's done it with a couple stars, right? He had Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum for years and years. So, you know, but guy who's, you know, kind of won, you know, quite a bit in this league. So I don't have any issue with any of them. I think all of them could be pretty good. And I do kind of wonder, you know, I'm obviously a little biased and it's playing right out in front of us, but Ime Udoka was kind of on the Darvin Ham path of getting close, finally get his job, and he's done quite well with it. Maybe that's the way it goes once Darvin Ham finally breaks through.
Yeah, that's where I see the majority of Lakers fans hoping, putting their hopes behind is Darvin Ham. Most Lakers fans seem to want him to be the one to get the head coaching job. There's a sense that there's a known commodity factor with Terry Stotts, and most people see that, or at least this has been my analysis too, is that you're kind of getting inverse Frank Vogel with Terry Stotts, and that you get a steady, proven coach where you know that, you know, you know they can handle it, but you're going to get a guy who's a really good offensive mind and has some questions defensively. Frank Vogel was the opposite, really good defensive mind, had some questions offensively. And I think a lot of fans instead want to see the Lakers go for perhaps the upside play with a guy like Darvin Ham. But again, we'll see. I know today the Lakers Nation staff and I were chatting a little bit about this, and we said the ideal situation is you bring in Darvin Ham, and then if he's up for it, make Terry Stotts the lead assistant, and off you go. Don't know if that's something he would actually consider doing or not, but if they do go with Darvin Ham, I would expect the Lakers to try to add as much experience as they can on the bench just to provide that extra support.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. We saw how good Steve Nash did with adding like Mike D'Antoni and then adding Ime Udoka and a couple other guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great example of the path the Lakers would have to take if they went that way.
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about a former Laker now, former Laker player, former Laker general manager, Mitch Kupchak. Got an extension with the Hornets. It's a multi-year extension. Again, that's about all we know as far as details go. But
because he broke the news himself. He made at his presser post lottery, I guess it was. He said, "Yeah, I've signed an extension." And then I think his wording was, "I believe you would call it a multi-year extension."
Yeah, right. Mitch is the king of speaking without saying anything. He is so, from covering him, he is so good at it. It's infuriating when you're covering the team because you're like, oh my gosh, he just talked for 10 minutes and he said nothing. There's nothing in here.
And you're like trying to like parse through it, like, was there anything there? And it's like,
Nope.
nope.
He gave it up.
I have to create a post out of this. Like, it's like, well, yeah, no, I hear
But from an
you.
organizational standpoint, that's a great thing. That's a great thing, right? Because he can answer questions without accidentally getting himself into hot water or anything like that, or but good for Mitch. Signs that extension with the Hornets, and off they go. And then they'll see what they can do this summer. I still think, by the way, we should mention, all these candidates that the Lakers have, the Hornets have talked to them too. And so, we've talked about Terry Stotts maybe being a candidate for them, Mike D'Antoni being an interesting fit there. Darvin Ham has gone on to a second round of interviews. It's going to be really interesting to see which club, the Lakers or the Hornets, pulls the trigger first on hiring a coach, and if either of them feels any pressure because the other team is getting to that same stage.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I did think it was interesting. Mitch Kupchak, in talking about the Hornets coaching search, said, soon before the draft, but basically said we've still got a couple weeks before we're even to that point. So it's weird because it's not like they're exactly playing chicken with each other, but it is a little bit like, all right, let's see, where we want to go. What it would get really interesting is if the same guy gets offers from both teams. Like, then that would become like, all right, now you have to pick. Right, you have to choose. So yeah, I think it's really, really, really gonna play out. But yeah, it's odd as this sounds. The Lakers, I think, will in general be fine with whoever they hire. They're probably going to be okay. I think the Hornets have to get the right person just for where this team has been. And I thought James Borrego did a really good job there. I saw this after he was fired. He was the only coach to improve his team's wins by 10. Each of the last two seasons. So they went from the 20s to the 30s to the 40s and wins. And like, that's, I don't know. I mean, I know Mitch Kupchak said, I just thought it was time for a new voice. It sounds like there was maybe some stuff just, in the locker room, guys not, with respect issues maybe, but yeah, it very, very, curious, but yeah, they've got to nail this. They got to get it right.
See, I've been saying for months now that the Lakers absolutely have to get it right. Like, there is no, I and this is part of my whole thing for a couple of months has been the Lakers have to bat 1,000. Their margin for error is disintegrated because of all the stuff they did last summer. So I've been looking at the coaching situation from an opposite perspective, saying you have to hit it out of the park. You have to get it right, because any mistake at all, I'm talking about the coaching, any of the players that you add, is enough to sink you this year, because you're playing from so far behind after what happened last summer.
Yeah, I think that is, there's truth to that for sure. I'm not, coming from a place where I'm just going to, I do think you're right on that.
Let's finish up with this. And this is always exciting. We talk draft and we talk about trades to happen during that. That's the other thing, even if you're a team and, maybe I'm comforting myself here, but a team that doesn't have any draft picks, there's a lot of trade talks around the draft, right? I mean, that's just, it's what happens, is part of what makes the NBA draft exciting. And same thing with NFL, same thing with other sports as well. But there's a lot of trade discussions that go on around the draft. So right now, the Kings, the Blazers, and the Pelicans are rumored to be the most likely teams to trade their picks. I feel like one of those isn't like the other two. In terms of whether or not they should be. Like, I look at the Blazers, and I think they got to rebuild around Damian Lillard. They're trying to win right now. That makes sense. The Pelicans, like, man, they had a great close to the season. They're going to get Zion healthy. They can really make some noise next season. That makes sense. The Kings, they missed the playoffs, and I know they've struggled with the draft. I know they've had guys who haven't panned out. I know they really want to make the playoffs. So I'm not saying it's the wrong move. But with the number four pick, like, you got to get something pretty good if you're going to give that up. And I feel like if I'm the Kings, I got to feel pretty good that what I'm getting is going to be enough to get me into the playoffs.
It's going to get me into the playoffs, and it's got to be sustainable.
Correct. Yep.
Too, because yes, they want to make the playoffs really, really bad. I think I don't know anybody who dislikes the Kings enough to not want to see them finally break this 16-year streak. I mean, that's
like the Lakers-Kings rivalry was something 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been so long. Like, that's completely
basically since the last time they made the playoffs.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, yeah, I don't have any animosity towards Sacramento at this point.
Absolutely not. Yep. And some of the most loyal fans in all of sports that they year after year after year keep coming back knowing, like, oh, you know, maybe next year. We're not even talking about championships, right? You and I come from a super spoiled point of view with it, where it's like, yeah, you know, it's all about getting to the finals and competing for a title. All they want to do is make the playoffs. You know, kids are going to graduate high school and never have seen this team, you know, make the playoffs. Like, that's just wild to me. So we're in a point now where you just got to be careful. If you trade that pick, it's got to be get into the playoffs. But I also want it to be sustainable, because once you make it, that's now in the rear view, right? We made it. But making it once, that's not what you want, right? You want to be able to go back, you know, year over year. So it's definitely got to be sustainable to go. So yeah, I'm very, very curious to see. Portland totally makes sense. They're trying to do that quick reset around Dame, get right back into contention. And then New Orleans 100% makes sense. I mean, they're thinking, we get Zion back with the roster we have, we're already pretty good. You know, get one more vet in here to flesh this thing out a little bit more, we're pretty good. I will say this. How you become sustainably good is to be good and then keep kidding on draft picks. I don't know that I would be in a super huge rush if I was New Orleans traded, because I think they're going to be pretty good almost no matter what next year. I don't know that I'd be in a real rush to start moving guys.
I mean, you got to listen. You got to listen, and you got to see what's out there. Yep. Because if there's a move that makes sense, like if you could find a player who's 26, 27, something like that, that you can get via trade, then you can land that guy and still say, this guy's part of our future too, and off you go. Where I think you can kind of do both things, where you're getting a player that's going to help you down the road and is going to have that sustainability while adding a piece that's going to help you this season more than a current rookie in theory would. But again, that's a pretty tall order and not always easy to find. But if I'm the Pelicans, I'm investigating it. I'm going to try to find out what's there. If all that's out there is, oh, I can get a 33-year-old guy who's only got a couple of years, okay, well, I'm probably not doing that. But if you can find the right move and you find a piece that you think fits really well, that's interesting. And I'm racking my brain right. I'm like, what is it they need? Like, what's the biggest thing that
another shooter? Yeah, I mean,
just kind of more of what they added a little bit at last year's trade deadline. You know, now that you can find some more shooting, they'll be in pretty good shape.
I mean, health, right? Zion, that's what they need. But yeah, via trade,
Is there any player out there with a medical background so you can kill two birds with one right? stone there?
Yeah. Yeah. Did someone go into law or med school in their college path? Yeah. You know, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, it is going to be. or two came from Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report. He also reported that some of the teams with multiple picks in the first round, Memphis, San Antonio, and Oklahoma City, are going to be looking to do what they can to maybe, you know, consolidate picks and move up the board or something like that. So that'll be something to keep an eye on too. I think it's going to be a really fun draft as far as movement goes. So, you know, it'll be, you know, let's see. I think we have a really good chance of seeing a lot of movement, you know, in this draft.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Well, it's going to give us plenty of stuff to cover, which makes it all the more important that everybody subscribes right here to the NBA Front Office YouTube channel, as well as the podcast feed over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Again, appreciate all the reviews that we get. Hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. Let's enjoy some playoff basketball. Fingers crossed, no more blowouts. Let's get some close games, some barn burners.
One of the series can have a blowout or two. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, let's go.
Maybe a blowout where it turns a blowout like midway through the fourth quarter and we coast to the end. And I'd be okay if one of this series went that way.
Are you thinking specific series, or just for your own sanity? Yeah. Or are you just saying in general, that's the best we can hope for, is that the blowout doesn't...
One specific series. Okay. I would not mind seeing a couple blowouts here that move things. But yeah, I will say too, guys, I apologize. I think my audio has been a little bit glitchy today. We're in the middle of a very bad thunderstorm here in Orlando. So I apologize that everything's been a little bouncy today. So, you know, if it is, I apologize. We'll try to be better tomorrow.
We'll get through it. All right, everybody. Have a fantastic weekend. Stay safe and see you.